Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Happy Saturday, everybody. We are live and local here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and Richmond 910 The Fan, and always available on the go. Take the show on the road with the free Odyssey app. You can use it like I do. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. And joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, it's my buddy Chris Russell, the Rooster, Big Sexy. What's up, buddy? How are you?
How are you? Well, what's going on, pal?
I'm doing pretty good. Happy Saturday. And we've been talking about this schedule release. And I chose to take the very positive, optimistic approach to this schedule. And, you know, as much as this may be a difficult start, it really does ease up in the second half of the schedule. And I think my biggest takeaway is a few things. Number one, give me Dallas week 18 every single year at home. I absolutely want that every single year. And week one at Philly, as much as it's definitely a scary game, week ones are kind of a coin toss, and we've got a lot of unknown in our favor, given the fact nobody's seen David Blau call a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Durante Jones. And you're right on all of that. I would say this. Ideally, I would not like to open up two games in the division on the road 425, but you figure to be the freshest health wise, body wise, tired wise, what energy wise, what have you. So if you can go 1-1 in those two, which is reasonable, and I would expect them to, even though, again, those two teams on paper are better. Again, some of the reasons why you mentioned the improvements to the roster, hopefully Jaden's healthy, so on and so forth. If you go 1-1, that gives you a chance when you come home for Seattle. And then I don't want to say two freebies, by no means. There's no gimmies. But add in London for Indianapolis and then home for the Giants without the bye week, you know, then you have a chance through that first six-game meat grinder, hopefully, to be 3-3. I mean, at worst, 2-4, hopefully. But, you know, I think you can go 3-3 if you take care of business and find a way to split those two first road games. And then, of course, you got to beat Indianapolis and you got to beat the Giants. But, again, they should be able to do that. Not definitively, but they should be able to do that. Then you walk out of that first, you know, section of the schedule, 3-3 if you include the San Francisco Monday Nighter, and then you go on by and you're like, okay, reset. Now let's get ready for the rest of that softer part of the schedule. I don't want to say easy because, AWOD, you know, going to, you know, Arizona on a short week after you play Cincinnati on Monday night is not going to be easy. Even going to Tennessee, Tennessee's going to be better on the road the next week after Arizona when, you know, again, you're thinking it might be easier, but it might not be as easy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And I think most of the fans are on the same page as us that 3-3 after the first six games going into the bye week is a win and gives yourselves a fighting chance to go and get hot and become a playoff game team. And just to build off that, I'm interested in your thoughts on, you know, I'm predicting a couple of losses in these games, but I do think it is in Washington's favor where you go to San Francisco. That's probably your most difficult road game this season on the road, San Francisco, Monday Night Football. But you can go all out knowing you have the bye the next week. And although I'm predicting us to lose the following week to Philly because I don't have us sweeping them, that's one of the biggest games of the season, Philly at home, and it's coming after a bye week. So that's I'm predicting losses, but that is an interesting part of the schedule there.
Yeah, and that's a Sunday night game scheduled right now. I'm not sure if that falls into when they can first start flexing Sunday night games in and out and whatever, but I would expect that to stay as a Sunday night game at home. So, you know, the atmosphere will be charged. Like you said, you'll be fairly fresh, you know, as they come out of that. Look, the records with teams off a bye, like every team, every organization, every coach, every situation based on health is different, but you would expect, right, them to be ready. I'm more happy about this. The first component of that is at San Francisco, like you said, Monday night. I was thinking originally when that game leaked and we didn't have the week 7 information, which turned out to be the bye, that they were going to have to play another game, of course, on Sunday and maybe even on the road again off of a super short week with a long travel. So I was happy about that. I guess the part that I'm not thrilled about is not having the bye after the London, but I do believe that's easier than people realize. And then 3 primetime games in a 4-game span, with Cincinnati, the Eagles, and the Giants on Thursday Night Football, if I have that right in my head, 3 primetime games in a span of 4 games, you know, that can get a little wonky and sideways and all of that. And then again, that travel from Cincinnati at home on Monday night to Arizona Sunday afternoon, short week, short recovery, all that stuff. Those are the parts that I worry about.
Yeah, but there's some positives, like you were just saying. So you get the Giants on Thursday Night Football on the road. I mean, right. I've been saying to make the playoffs, you have to sweep the Giants. That's my take on that. And then you get, because that's Thursday night, you get the extra rest for Cincinnati at home. I mean, that is kind of exactly what you'd want for a massive game like that. And look, in the second half of the season, I mean, I just feel like our road games are so much easier in the second half. When you consider, like, Philly, Dallas, San Francisco are on the road in the first half. The second half, I mean, it's like Arizona, Tennessee, Minnesota, New York, Jacksonville. I mean, it's just much easier.
Minnesota-Jacksonville is going to be a little bit of a tough 2-game tango sandwiched around the holidays.
So here's my thing on those. I just almost guarantee, Chris, that both of those teams are not good. I could just be BSing you, but I don't see a world in which Minnesota and Jacksonville are both good.
Okay, so you're saying one or the other is not good. You're saying not both of them aren't good, because I think, you know, what I wonder about is, you know, Minnesota has lost a lot of pieces on their defense, right? Obviously, Durante Jones being part of that. But our old pal Jonathan Allen, they traded Jonathan Greenard to Philadelphia. They cut Javon Hargrave, right? So they've had some, you know, so I wonder there. And Kyler Murray has never really been a great second-half quarterback. So I wonder what the quarterback situation is there. And Jacksonville, I mean, look, they were good last year, but they came on strong down the stretch. Is that the exact same replica this year? I don't know. I'm just saying 2 road games sandwiched around the holidays is not ideal when I'm also asked to open up the year 2 games on the road in the division. But to get that final home game, to get some of the things that we talked about, okay, all right. I mean, you got to give some to get some. You don't have a lot of leverage. They want Jaden in prime time as much as they possibly can for a 5-12 team. Hopefully, you get the injury luck that you got for the most part in 2024 that you did not get in 2025.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, luck, like, it's all about not who you play, but when you play them. And I saw Washington doesn't play teams off of a bye this year. It felt like that happened almost every week last year. It just felt like last year the situations in which we faced teams were unbelievably bad. Either a team was off a bye or off of a 30-point victory or off of a 30-point defeat where they were going to get fired up for the next week.
Yeah. I think the net days of rest that I saw was 12 or 13. I would have to go back and double check that. I can't remember now. But you know, it was pretty favorable, right?
Yeah.
Towards Washington, again, doing, taking on opponents that, like you said, weren't super fresh, i.e. off their bye, like they will be presumably for the Philadelphia Sunday nighter. I think we can look at all of that and factor it all in and say, okay, well, this and that and whatever. The biggest thing for me will, of course, be injuries, but when those injuries, like you talk about when opponents happen, yes, but when those injuries happen, right? Like if Terry McLaurin, for whatever reason, has to miss 3 weeks, you'd like him to miss, I don't know, the games against maybe Cincinnati, Arizona, and Tennessee, as opposed to missing, the weeks 1, week 2, and week 3. You know, I mean, that's a big part of this as well. And listen, let's face it. if Jaden is healthy and if Jaden is rolling and rocking and rolling, and that's an if, not a when, like, they're going to be able to overcome some of the injuries that they did not be, that they were not able to overcome. Not to mention, we should think their defense is much more fortified this year than it was last year. Again, injuries could change all of that and everybody could get knocked out. But I hope with what they've added and what depth they, I believe, now have in some key areas, even though they're exposed in some other areas, I hope that they're going to be able to overcome, if Trey Amos has to miss a game or two, they're not totally screwed kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it really feels like we're all going to be asking ourselves the same thing throughout training camp and into the preseason. It's, can this team stay healthy enough and not lose so many games that they're in it? Can they stay in the fight and then go on a stretch run, right? I mean, I think everybody's going to continue to talk about that. Like you were saying, if Terry gets hurt early or if Jaden missed times early, can we be 3-4? Can we be 4-5? Can we be 5-6 and just have a fighting shot at going on a run? Because I think a lot of people believe what Dan Orlovsky said on ESPN. Look at the final 7 games. Commanders could go 7-0. I mean, of course, you're drinking the Burgundy and Gold Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I think that's too rich of an ask, right? You don't want to be in a situation where you got to go on a 7-0 magic carpet ride, right? Because I've been a part of those, situations.
It's been my entire life. every year we make the playoffs, it's because of a miracle run.
But it takes a lot. I mean, it does take a lot out of you to climb that mountain, right? And once you get there, then what do you do? Hey, listen, if you have to do that, you do that. Oh, okay, that's life, that's football, whatever. But what I would like is if you could, again, be 3-3 at the bye, and then if you could find a way, again, to be maybe instead of 6-6, maybe be 6-5, or even if you could be like they were 2 years ago, 7-4 going into that final stretch, it gives you a little bit of leeway, right? So that's where that softer underbelly of the schedule is important, even though there's some tough opponents. Again, Philadelphia on Sunday night, so on and so forth. Giants on the road Thursday night. Cincinnati, we'll see how good they are. I mean, it'll depend on, obviously if their defense has improved, which I think it has, but it'll depend on Joe Burrow, who always gets hurt too, right? I mean, so if you can create some hay in that portion of the schedule, it removes some of the pressure of having to play essentially playoff games every game down the stretch, including those back-to-back games that I was talking about, Minnesota and Jacksonville, who, you could be right, Awad, but maybe they are both good. Who knows?
Chris Russell with us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. My guy, Chris Russell, can be heard on the Team 980, 1 to 4 p.m., and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Follow him on social media, RussellMania621. Russell, I support you all the time, and I listen to your show. And I got to say, I was a little upset you didn't book me to talk Washington Wizards because I disagreed with a take on you. So I want to give you a chance here to say your take one more time because I wrote it down.
Yeah.
All right? You said the tank was bad for fans. So I want to give you a chance to explain that one more time, and then I'll give you my response.
It's so interesting that you were bringing that up because I was just going to say, you're right. I dropped the ball on that. Your schedule is kind of weird, right, in that we can only do it in the 3 o'clock hour. And I totally forgot. And I was going to say, I got to get you on because I know how diehard and loyal and passionate of a Wizards fan as you are. Yes, it was bad because you're asking fans to support and back up 3 years of intentional losing, whatever you want to call it, 3 years plus of intentional losing. I don't think this year by any means is a guarantee to go good or even to start well. I think it'll get better as you go along this upcoming year, but I don't know if it's great from the start in October, November, what have you. For the fans, yes, you can dangle the carrot of, hey, maybe one day we can be the Philadelphia 76ers. Maybe one day we can be the Detroit Pistons. Maybe. But AWOD, to ask them for 3 plus years, and it might be, again, 4 probably not five. It'll probably be shorter than the Pistons window, probably smaller than the 76ers window. But to ask them to do it year after year after year for this notion that they're guaranteed to win a championship in people's minds because Oklahoma City did it after 2 years, I think is wrong. I think it's a hard ask. I think it really is. And it's the 76ers fans, if they thought it was worth it, I'd probably be willing to bet now in hindsight that it wasn't, you know? And if the Pistons lose tomorrow, was it worth it? 5 years. It took them 7 years to win, you know, a playoff series. Mm-hmm.
So, listen, I'm
not telling you I'm right. I'm not telling you I'm right. I'm telling you the downside that I think a lot of people don't factor in.
Yeah, and my response is, like, the tank being bad for fans, I agree with that sentence, but there's more to this. No. My answer is no. It's not bad for the fans because the diehard fans like myself that have watched all 82 game for their entire life, that know everything about this team, have been beaten down and beaten down to the point of no return, beaten down to a pulp, so much so that I gave up. A lot of Wizards fans gave up. The tank was the most ethical thing to do. We killed our sick animal. We killed our sick pet and brought in a new one, raising this thing to be a winner. Hold on. From the outside looking in, Chris.
How do you give up after all those years and then you encourage and support this?
From the outside looking in, the last 3 years, we've had the least wins in the NBA. You could say it's been the toughest 3 years from that perspective. When you realize we haven't won anything since 1978, when we haven't been a threat to win in the postseason for more than a decade, when we had to sit through the mediocrity and this front office giving Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, and a bunch of bums too much money, you realize that it was time to end it, Chris. It was time to end that Wizards fans' lives. It was time to end that fandom there and start over from scratch. You had to, because you're saying the last 3 years were tough. I'm telling you, the last decade took a lot of years off my life rooting for the Wizards. I stopped watching games.
I know you love your passion. And you make absolute common sense. I know how tough it is. My point was they didn't even try with supposedly really smart basketball IQ minds. Try to do something different, right? Try to maybe straddle that line and rebuild, reorganize.
No, but they did do something different,
while
Chris.
Also trying to win and compete.
No, but what they did was different. Was they fully embraced the tank, not the midway tank, not the if we just get into the postseason, I sell a lot of postseason tickets and merchandise for us to lose in the first round. They fully embraced the tank and won the suckathon. Like, they suck so bad that the NBA changed the rules. That's a win right there.
I can't encourage that, though. I can't support that. Like, I get it's probably better long-term, but short-term, I got to be honest with you, and maybe this is Tommy Shepard disease, and I like Tommy. Tommy wasn't just doing that on his own, number one. That was partially Ted monumental, number one. Number two, like, those teams, the 2 years before these guys got there, 35 wins each year, they would have been in the mid-40s, maybe even higher, if they had any injury luck whatsoever, right? What if this team, what if this group right now, the young guys, who had a lot of injuries, by the way. I mean, Alex Sarr has dealt with some injuries. We don't know if Trae Young is going to be able to play.
No, there's a lot of question
games.
Marks.
We have no idea.
What I'm saying, Chris, is instead of competing for the 8 seed through the 5 seed, you go bottom down, completely suck tank with the hope that you can be a top 4 seed. And what I'm telling you is the last 3 years have been tough. I'm telling you, the last decade's been even more tough. I was done with Wizards basketball. If Tommy Shepard still had a job, I wouldn't have been watching games. That's how bad it got. It got so bad that everybody had to get blown out, and you had to try something different.
Well, I mean, they absolutely executed what you wanted them to do. If that was worth at minimum 3 years, congratulations, buddy. I mean, I hope it works. Seriously, I hope it works out. Everybody thinks I'm against the Wizards. I'm not. I love the Wizards, number one. I need them to be good for my freaking radio show, for God's sakes. Okay? But the bottom line is, I look at, you know, everybody compares them to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City only stunk for 2 years, and they made a brilliant trade for SGA, and they won 22 and 24 games in those 2 years. It wasn't like they were winning 15 games a year. There is a difference to me. And here's the other thing that I'm worried about. I know we're running out of time. I'm worried about how developed are these young guys who are still getting hair on their chest. How developed are they in games that absolutely did not matter? I mean, did they get plenty of playing time? Sure. But the games themselves did not matter. Are they going to squirt in their underwear in mid-March and April when these games actually mean something this upcoming year?
I mean, I almost guarantee the Wizards make the playoffs and lose a playoff heartbreaking series because they're not ready for the postseason. But they are ready to make a massive regular season jump. I'm very confident.
I hope. I hope so.
All right, man.
You come on my show. Hey, listen, you come on my show anytime you want. It's my fault. I forgot to reach out. It's my bad. I would love to have you on. I would love to have a more passionate discussion and argument than we already have. We can do so anytime you want.
I appreciate it, man. We'll open up the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? Happy Saturday, everybody. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And the phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I'd like to make this the most interactive radio show possible, 1-800-636-1067. And I wanted to celebrate the Washington Wizards winning the NBA draft lottery last Sunday, the Mother's Day miracle, by giving you guys a full hour of Washington Wizards basketball. And we started hot going after Chris Russell and his tank take that the tank was bad for the fans. 1-800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Look, it has not been fun the last 3 years, but it was the right thing to do because of how bad the last decade has been, or maybe even longer than that. You had to start all over, and I fully trust Michael Winger and Will Dawkins. I have not had a front office from my favorite team that I trust more. I actually trust those guys more than I trust Adam Peters. I trust those guys more than what the Nats have brought in and what the Caps have going on. Every time I listen to Michael Winger talk, I think he is smarter than me. When I listen to Will Dawkins talk, I'm like, that guy knows ball. He knows ball. He had a great interview on NBA TV this week at the Combine talking about the reconstruction phase of the roster being done. And now they can go into next season with the goal of trying to win games rather than losing games. I am super excited. This is the most excited I've been for Wizards basketball close to my entire life. Probably second place is like when the hibachi was heating up. I mean, I have never been this excited for what Wizards basketball. Sign me up for the future. And A.J. DeBonsta, the number one overall pick. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Shane in Oxon Hill. What's up, Shane? You're on the Fan with AWOD.
AWOD, what's going on, man? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
I just want to say X9 about the Wizards rebuild and just about the franchise. It wasn't that long ago that we were out there with Gilbert Arenas, Caron Butler, Antoine Jameson. That trio was running through the playoffs perennially every year. You know what I'm saying? And he turned the keys right over to John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter and company, who continuously had it in the playoffs. But we never had those championship aspirations for real. They were never really, you know what I'm saying, there. We were just like Mike Tomlin in the Steelers, who could get you to the playoffs. But, you know, championship was never really the goal for real, I guess. But and the fans per se cried and bemoaned this, you know what I'm saying, mediocrity for years that we had Bill and John Wall. You know what I'm saying? They wanted to tear it down. And now that we're in this rebuild, you know what I'm saying, however long it's taken, 3 years, I've actually enjoyed the rebuild because it's a far cry of what we've done with putting aging veterans on the floor and signing Trevor Ariza's and the Nene's and the Gortat. We've actually drafted our own guys and letting them, you know what I'm saying, get better. it as a refreshment moment? And also, how can you say that you're tired now when this is what we wanted all this time, when you guys wanted the trade deal, when you guys wanted to get rid of this mediocrity, and now that we're in a full rebuild, it seems like everybody said, oh, we suck. That was the goal. The goal was to suck so that we can build pieces. The goal was to suck so that we can build a core of lottery picks, and now we finally got the first pick to get a difference maker. This is exactly what we wanted, and Will Douglas and company have put on a show and how to rebuild a franchise, man. So I just want to tell the fans, don't be weary. Don't get tired of it. This is exactly what we wanted. We knew we were going to suck for a few years. That's what you got to do when you're rebuilding. But I just want to say, man, it was by design, and now we're starting to see the fruits of our labor. And by the way, let's just say draft Doug Peterson, please, the killer instinct. That's who I want, not AJ. I'm sorry.
I appreciate it, man. We can argue about who we want Washington to draft, but we know they're going to get the guy that they want because they have the number one overall pick. They achieved their goal. They won the suckathon. They won the tankathon, and they got the number one overall pick. Well said by Shane there. This is what the fans wanted, to restart everything. I mean, it's been 20 years since since Gilbert Arenas won a playoff series, 2006, 2007. It's been 20 years. And you can tell me about Bradley Beal and John Wall and Otto Porter. Come on now. Gilbert had us closest than we've ever been. John Wall hit the shot to send it to a game seven, and we lost to Kelly Olynyk. I mean, come on. I love John Wall, but I'm not going to be hyping up Bradley Beal. That's not my job here. Let's go to Rob in D.C. Rob, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's up, AWOD? How you doing?
Good. I'm giving a full hour to the Wiz kids. What are your thoughts, man? Do you like the way they have tanked and gotten the number one overall pick?
Man, I love it. But my thing is, AWOD, you know, I'm getting ready to be 65 years old, so I go way back to the Bullets, okay? My older brother, rest in peace, oh, man, teenager, took me to the games at the Cap Center when they won their championship in 78, 79. I attended those games. So with that being said, I've seen how it is to win a championship. And so for that, I just always thought that the Bullets would be contenders, you know, throughout life. Unfortunately, they just had bad management over the years, and so they got stuck in purgatory due to the owner, due to the general managers. You know, all they was worried about was trying to get the ace back. So, you know, it just takes that, you know, you have to lose to build your team up. So, in other words, New York Knicks, when the draft first came out, you know, the lottery, they got lucky. Hey, look who they got, Pat Ewan. Changed their whole franchise. So without New York taking Pat Ewing, they wouldn't even be who they are probably right now. But anyway, all the current teams that are winning, San Antonio, Detroit, all of those are affected off of the lottery. So, you know, even Philly was taking Embiid. He just was injured a lot. But you have to, you know, hit the rock bottom to start over these days. And their management have been transparent in saying that the Wizards are going to tank. They told everybody that. They wasn't hoodwinked or anything. And so, for me, you have to start over, despite what some of the critics say. But if you look at the teams now that's winning, they even tanked. Everybody tanked. So, this is nothing new. So, why is it when the Wizards finally get smart enough to use this tool to win, now it seems like it's a problem. But to me, it's no problem. They did what they had to do. They're going to turn this thing around. I've been suffering for 50 years of trying to get back to a game where I can go to a championship. So for that being said, I'm fine with it. They just had dysfunctional management and ownership over the last 50 years. Okay, Wad, I ain't mean to rant and take your time, but thank you, buddy.
Yep, good call, man. I appreciate it. And to actually fully do the rebuild, you have to win the lottery, but you also have to be smart with your other picks. So like Bilal Coulibaly, lottery pick. Alex Sart, lottery pick. Trey Johnson, lottery pick. Bob Carrington, great selection by this front office. Will Riley, great selection by this front office. Keyshawn George, great selection by this front office. So you have to hit on your really high pick, but also you got to be smart with your later picks as well. I think Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have done a terrific job. More of our Wizards Hour here on AWOD Radio coming up next. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, giving you a full hour of Washington Wizards basketball talk to celebrate the Mother's Day miracle of the Wizards winning the NBA draft lottery. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. And my dad took me to see Michael Jordan in a Wizards uniform when I was a kid, and I've been locked in on the Washington Wizards ever since then. I have lived through a couple of good seasons with Gilbert. We had a couple of good years with John Wall. But it's been awful in my mind for the last almost decade here. I felt like we had to fully embrace the tank. I wanted the number one overall pick 3 years ago. We got number two, Alex Saar. Last year, wanted Cooper Flagg so badly, or Ace Bailey. We ended up getting number six, Trey Johnson. And look, that was the worst luck possible to fall from two to six. This year, we actually decided to stick with it. Like, some front offices might have backed up, might have backed away. Might have been like, well, you know what? We failed. This front office stuck with the process. They decided, hey, we know how good Cooper Flagg is. We also know how good the prospects are in the next draft. So although we didn't get the luck, we finished with the worst record in basketball and got the sixth overall pick. We got screwed. We're going to stick with our process, commit to the tank again, an ethical tank where we're playing our young guys. I think looking back next year, people are going to say, man, Michael Winger and Will Dawkins were so smart. How do you think they got the number one overall pick? Because they traded for two players that weren't going to play. That's how you lose games. You trade C.J. McCollum, who was helping you win when you didn't want to win, Chris Middleton, who was scoring too much when you didn't want to score, for two guys that barely played. And you did fully suck to the point that you had the worst record in basketball. And you achieved something with that. You had a 14% chance of getting the number one overall pick, and you hit. And you hit in a draft class that's being viewed as one of the best draft classes in 20 years. And like I said earlier, you didn't just hit on all your lottery picks, you also hit in some of your later picks. And for the first time in like 5 or 6 years, I feel like you can look at this full roster right now, the depth chart, and there's 10 guys deep, no bums. And then you're going to add a number one overall pick. 10 guys deep, no bums. I haven't been able to say that about the Wizards forever, feels like. We've got a bunch of young guys that are on the rise. I don't know how you couldn't be excited. We had to tank for 3 years because the last decade has been so bad. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Sean in Woodbridge. Sean, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, AWOD, what's going on this morning, man?
What's up, man? Talking some Wiz hoops. I'm fired up. How are you doing?
Man, look, first of all, I heard you and the Wiz were going at it. And in my general opinion, both of y'all are wrong.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is man, let's go all the way back. You're talking about Juwan Howard and Chris Webber. That what they pulled them didn't have a front office. Hey, Poland had no idea what he was doing. Instead of building a team to win, you went and got a 7'7 dude that couldn't really run, and you went and got Muggsy Bogues, you know what I'm saying, who was 5'2", which it was about marketing. That's all Hey, Poland did his whole time, making money. Yes, then you come again. You sell a team. Leonson does the same thing. It was about marketing and pulling people into the arenas. It wasn't about building a winner. Now, you have a situation where you got rings. Oh, man, you got something there. You had two dudes who didn't know what the hell they were doing in that front office. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they got some dudes, but they didn't know how to build a championship team. We never had people in that front office that know how to build a championship team. I have more confidence in what we got now than what we had with the other three or four teams that were winning at a certain point. So my thing is, tanking doesn't necessarily make you win. Front offices make you win. You know what I'm saying? You have some front offices that tank, so they can win, and some that do trades, so they can win. It's not about how you build a team. It's about your front office being smart enough, knowing
the game of basketball. And this is a good front office doing it the right way. Would you agree with that?
Well, no. Remember what you said now. I'm saying that it doesn't make a difference how you do it, whether you tank or whether you use trades. It's about whether you know the game well enough to develop what you got and to get what you got under the cap situation. You
know, I hear what you're saying, Sean. I'm just telling you, exactly. I think this front office has built the right way, and it's so much better than recent front offices. We'll take more of your phone calls next, talking Washington Wizards celebrating the Mother's Day miracle of getting the number one overall pick in the upcoming NBA draft. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. The Washington Wizards sent their previous number one overall pick, John Wall, to the NBA draft lottery for some good luck, and John Wall brought back the number one overall pick. And we started our Wizards hour here on AWOD Radio by getting Chris Russell to re-explain his take that he thinks the tank was bad for fans. And I understand what he's saying, but I'm telling you guys, if you are a diehard fan of this team, you've been beaten down and beaten down to the point of no return, beaten down to the point where you probably gave up like I did and stopped watching games. And it was the only thing to do, the ethical thing to do, was to destroy everything that was part of that Wizards team. Get rid of that entire front office, bring in a new front office, and then look at this sick puppy here and decide that there's no reason to revive it. We have to start all the way over and raise this team into being a winning organization. And like I said, from the outside looking in, yes, the last 3 years were bad. Last 3 years, least wins in the NBA. It hasn't been the toughest 3 years to be a Wizards fan when you realize how bad we've been for the last 10 years, for the last 50 years. We haven't won anything since 1978. We haven't been a threat to win in the postseason in almost 20 years outside of the blip of the John Wall Bradley Beal year. I went back and went through the 2011 playoff series. I cannot believe that we lost to the Atlanta Hawks when we had John Wall, Bradley Beal, Paul Pierce, Marcin Gortat, and Nene. And we lost to, like, Jeff Teague. Cannot, because our coaching was bad. Everything about the front office was so bad for so long. We finally have the right people in place here. We finally do. And I feel like a lot of this fans probably gave up a Wizards basketball in the last 70 years. Maybe since the Caps won the cup. Because everybody talks about Ted only cares about hockey, doesn't care about basketball. Right? And if you've been following, though, if you've been paying attention, yeah, they've sucked. They've had the worst record in basketball, but they're absolutely building a winning organization with smart trades, savvy draft picks, and player development. If you don't realize why Brian Keefe, who's had the worst record in basketball, still has a job as the head coach for the Wizards, it's because this front office believes in his player development. How do you build a winning organization? You draft guys, and you develop your own players. So I'm going to start by telling you about the full 10 that the Wizards have, because for the first time in a long time, I feel like we have a full 10-man rotation with no bums. Backup point guard Bub Carrington, who this front office drafted at 19 years old, played one season for Pittsburgh. That was it. In the ACC, they liked what they saw out of him. He's come in here, had a great rookie year. Maybe a step back sophomore year, but I think he's proven to be a solid backup point guard or a backup too. Trey Johnson is his buddy, right? Bub and Trey play really well together. Trey Johnson's kind of like a young Steph. I mean, obviously, that's big words to say about him, but he has unbelievable range. And coming off the bench, Trey Johnson's going to have the green light to come in and shoot away from the outside. Backup small forward, Will Riley, is a rising star. If you've been watching Wizards basketball, you know Will Riley has blown people away. And this is a guy that we drafted and we've developed. Will Riley came into Washington at pick 21, right? You have to hit on your lottery picks. You also have to be savvy with some of your other picks. And what he did this past year, full season of averaging 10 points per game, but you look at the month of March and April, he was at 18 and 15 points per game and playing meaningful minutes. That's your backup small forward, backup power forward, Keyshawn George. Keyshawn George has proven that he can run a rotation. You could have him in the starting lineup. He started all of last season. Keyshawn George is like a point forward. Love Keyshawn George. Maybe the most proven of the young guys that we've drafted so far with this front office. Keyshawn George has proven he can run the second unit, backup five, probably Christian Vucevic, but maybe Juju Reese. And I could admit that we probably need to bring in another backup five this offseason. That's the five that we have coming off the bench. Starting lineup, Trey Young, Ice Trey. All right, you could say he hasn't been his best since 2021. I believe he has a legacy to protect. I believe he's ready to write the next chapter in his career. I think he sought out the Washington Wizards because Travis Schlenk was the part of the front office in Atlanta that wanted him. He wants to be part of this future in Washington, and he's absolutely worthy of being a starting point guard in the NBA for a team that wants to make the playoffs. Trae Young got a bad rep in Atlanta, but Trae Young's been an all-star, and he's viewed really positively, I think, around the league. Starting shooting guard, I'll say Bilal Coulibaly. You want defense next to Trae Young. That's his one weakness, right? Big weakness. Bilal's been an above-average defender. I'm putting A.J. DeBonsta in the starting lineup because I think he's going to be the third most talented player on the roster as soon as we draft him. The most excited I've been for a prospect in 10 years. I love A.J. DeBonsta. He can do everything. Anthony Davis, your starting power forward. He wants to play power forward. That's why he has to add L.A. He doesn't want to play five. Let him play power forward. Let him score. And the big Anthony Davis thing is, oh, he wants to get a trade. If he cares about his legacy in the NBA, he needs to turn it around because he's being viewed as a locker room cancer and a guy that can't stay healthy. You want to change that? Like, here's the thing. I think Anthony Davis absolutely cares a ton about his legacy. So I think he will work hard to come in shape and ready to go in training camp. And then an Alex Saar at center. A couple years ago, the number two overall pick. I think if you redid that draft, he'd probably be the number two overall pick. He's been really solid. And as much as I was down on Alex Saar his first year, my goodness, did he improve, not just on the defensive end, but from the three-point line. He's starting to really develop an offensive game. That's a starting five that I think can win 35-plus games with a backup five that's solid. I'm telling you, from 17 wins to 40-plus, that's my Wizards prediction. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. If you want to talk Wizards basketball, I promise a full Wizards hour. We'll take your calls after we bring on Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports to continue our Wiz discussion. That's next on The Fan.